The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Not eliminate himself from the contention of the Chris Sims most coveted cornerback rankings draft board of the year.
Way to lock it down there. That was smooth. You are Chris Sims' top five host in the world, okay? Yes.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's right. That's why they pay that guy the big bucks right there. Who could set that up better than the golden man himself, Ahmed Fareed, wearing his yellow pants? Who can even pull off yellow pants in the world right
now? Not many people.
I'm willing to say that you're the only one hosting a show today in America wearing yellow pants.
That's probably true. Debatable if I'm pulling it off or not.
Well, you're pulling it off.
I'm wearing them. It is happening.
And you got the red underneath undershirt on with the gray.
Yeah, you've been going more black. I've noticed that.
I guess
really
it's my mood lately.
Almost all black.
Right. I don't know what it is.
Is everything okay?
I mean, you know I don't ever vary from the color wheel too far. You know those orangey reds. Those
dangerous.
Oranges are more red than red.
Your judgment is in question on that.
But I usually do have more gray involved and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, though. You're not wrong.
Blue? You used to
I've been doing blue.
Okay.
I think you've been seeing me, and I've been wearing all blue, too, so you don't even realize. You're all blue, it's all black.
Basically,
who the fuck cares,
thing.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I have been feeling the black lately. I really have.
Then once you get into a rhythm of wearing the same thing, you're like,
I can
this
go
works.
The whole week.
Yeah,
I actually looked at, I was on Peacock and went through, I think like 2 weeks ago, I was looking for something, and I looked and I was like, damn, I wore black 4 days in a row.
I tried to tell you
I know, I think you did. I know. And then the next week I followed it up with like blue the first 3 days of the week, and then I changed it up on the fourth day.
You're becoming a cartoon character.
I need to maybe infuse some color, especially for these warmer
or not. Or
warmer
this is just
weather.
like Homer Simpson, right? He wears the same thing every show.
This is what I am. And
maybe
I think we complement each other well. You do the color of the rainbows, and I'll just do black and blue over
maybe
here.
Maybe I forced you into this, right? Because you have to balance me out.
Oh my gosh, if I was wearing what you were wearing, people would be like, oh my gosh, I can't take it. My eyes hurt.
Yeah, I've always watched the podcast.
Crazy people on this.
I'll listen to it from now on. I don't want that ever in my eyes ever again. Good weekend, though?
Good weekend. Good weekend. Yeah, they're all fun. I mean, fun is standard policy in the Sims household. Uh-huh. I'm always going to make it fun. College basketball games, cool to see. Parents came over Saturday. You know, little boy doubleheader baseball game yesterday. So doing that froze my ass off.
Yes.
Sitting there for 4 hours yesterday watching a doubleheader.
They don't have a pitch clock.
I got a little tan.
Yeah.
But
you do have a little color.
I got a little tan. I got color. I mean, I was out there. But as anybody, I mean, the Northeast in April is still not very fun. And it was like 39 degrees watching a baseball game yesterday.
We get tricked, though. That's what happens. We get tricked.
Right.
We get a 60-degree day.
Right.
And then we're like, I'm done with coats.
Yeah.
I'm over it. And the weather's like, well, we just tricked
you. Yeah, we made it. We're in spring. Saturday was kind of like that. We had a 70-degree day up here. And you were like, oh, man, this feels great. It's humid. Yeah. This is awesome. Woke up the next day. It was freezing hell.
Yeah. You're screwed now. The weather's
like,
we tricked you.
It was all good. Horse guy over there?
Yeah, we had the Florida Derby, and
I
so we got
that.
Kentucky Derby coming up in, I think,
five weeks?
Like that.
Gosh,
yeah, four and a half,
maybe. It's the first weekend in May or the second weekend in May.
So we're getting there. We're rolling. Baseball's starting up here, but today we have more pressing issues.
Way more pressing issues.
The top five running backs in the Chris Sims top five running back, top five draft rankings.
Damn, and by the top five Chris Sims host, Ahmed Fareed.
So we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Interesting class because there is a guy who stands above the rest, we think.
Yeah.
Although you always do something a little crazy, so we yet to be determined on that. But before we get to the actual running back rankings, let's take a look back at how we do at this whole thing. And a collective we.
Yeah.
We as all prognosticators here. And so we'll take a look back at a couple drafts. This is Power to the Sheeple. We've been trying to do this because I don't think we always check our work.
No.
At the end
no,
of the
we
day.
We definitely
it's
don't.
Like
no.
You just kind of move on to the next draft.
Right.
You start ranking guys again. But
that's
let's
right.
just see how close we were on some of these
sure.
and how everyone was. And so I just picked out a couple drafts here. 2021, which was a big one because I think even at this time, Chris, and you were not in the consensus here because a lot of people thought Najee Harris was a step above the rest. He
yeah.
was number one consensus. He was the first off the board. You had Travis Etienne first. You were very rare in having Najee Harris fourth. And I think, you know, nothing against Najee Harris. He's been asked to do a lot with very
right.
little.
Right.
But that explosive nature that you didn't see in college has not been there in the pros either.
That's right. You know, there's a blend of that power speed element. There you go, wait, what's going to work in the NFL? And I was a little bit on Najee Harris of the, you know, hey, I know he's big and strong and powerful, but, you know, like we've talked about before, there would be some holes and you'd go, damn, he only got 10 yards. That, you know, gosh, Travis Etienne would have got 60 right there, right? So there was some of that you didn't like. And, you know, if you remember at the time, I don't think he had a run longer than 20 yards at his last year at Alabama. So, you know, I didn't love that aspect. Now, I still didn't give him enough credit for how big and powerful he is mm-hmm. and how many times he can make a four-yard run where you go, he really should have got no yards or 1 yard right there. But, you know, at the same time, yes, some of those things that bothered me, they bothered Pittsburgh this year. And I think you heard that in the Pittsburgh fan base a little bit, right? There was a little bit of a, you know, uprising for the guy behind him and Warren a little at one point.
Sure.
And I think that was because what they saw, his ability to kind of get past the second level, get to the second level, is a little more explosive or immediate than Najee Harris. And, you know, again, that's where you get a balance. And that's where it is different between college, the NFL. You know, just because a guy is really fast in college doesn't mean it's always really fast in the NFL. And now that's the NFL. It's a bigger game and guys are out of position less. That's where the size and breaking tackles comes into play more maybe than college football. And that's where you got to kind of gauge this whole process.
There was a debate about two guys on North Carolina that year.
Yeah, right.
Javonte Williams. You also had Michael Carter. Most people liked Williams better than Carter. You took Carter
over
Williams.
I took Carter, right.
They both shown flashes in the NFL.
They definitely, yeah, but I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Williams is better.
Yes.
Williams is more made for the – Williams is exactly what we're talking about, right? Williams, you'd watch next to Carter, and you'd go, oh, my gosh, that was an unbelievable highlight run by Carter. But I wasn't giving enough credit to Williams' ability to move the pile or bounce off a tackle and get 4 or 5 more yards and then how that'll translate to the NFL. Michael Carter in college bounces off a tackle, and you go, oh, look, he's got pretty good power. But then he gets to the NFL, and that same tackle happens. You go, no, he went down. Mm. He went down. Javonte Williams runs through that tackle. And we saw that time and time again where, okay, maybe he didn't turn the corner for 50 yards like Michael Carter did, right? But, again, that's, again, where the balance of it, okay, yeah, he's not as explosive, but there's a more of a power element to him. And that power, big people's game, translates sometimes more in the NFL than it does in college football.
Power element to Ramondre Stevenson, who was taken in the 7th round.
Oh, he was, I believe, my next guy.
I know. You were like, I didn't have him in my top 5.
I know. I'm pretty sure he was my honorable mention. But, yeah, man, look at him. And, that, you know, it's guys like Ramondre Stevenson, right?
Yeah.
Where we go, this is why running backs don't get drafted in the top 20. Because you can get a Ramondre Stevenson and go, that's one of the better running backs in the NFL, and he's in the 7th round.
Yeah.
Right? So that's – or he wasn't the 7th round. He was 7th pick. I think
yeah.
he was like the 4th or 5th round somewhere
I
in that
I do have
category.
It right here, yeah.
I want to
he
say
was
4th, late 4th.
He
like
was 4th round, yeah, pick 120
right.
in the draft. So, yeah, we'll get into that discussion too because
yeah.
I think that's an interesting discussion.
Right.
So that was 2021, and then last year – you were also bucking the trend a little bit because I think most people thought, kind of like this year, that was a clear number one. I think most people were saying
yeah.
Breece Hall
right.
was a clear number one last year. And when he was healthy, he looked awesome.
Right.
But I think you were proven right in that Kenneth Walker, who you did have number one, at times looked like he was in that same conversation as Breece Hall.
Okay, yeah, they're both awesome. They are. But Kenneth Walker's more my cup of tea. You know, Breece Hall is a straight liner, like we saw, catch a swing pass out of the backfield from some Zach Wilson or get a toss sweep, right? And he would just straight line outrun you. He had incredible speed. Walker's got a little bit more of everything as far as a running back's concerned. Walker also can go 70 yards to the house, like we saw Breece Hall do. But Walker had better change of directional skills, and Walker is – he's one of the more physical runners in all of football already. That's where he really caught my eye. Again, you know, how long that'll last, I don't know. But we have to look at this and just go, these are four-year rentals. Stop worrying about what he might look like in year eight, because he probably won't be on your team.
You weren't as high on Isaiah Spiller as most people. He was consensus third. You didn't have him in your top five. He ended up going off the ninth running back off the board.
Spiller, big guy, right? Just lacked a little bit of explosive ability and acceleration that you'd like out of the top running back. So that was really what kept him off my top five.
James Cook, everyone kind of liked him. Didn't pop in Buffalo the first year.
Yep.
I do like your Damian Pierce. You had him in your top five. You made sure of that. He was consensus seventh.
Yeah, and I should have had him more. Five. See, there's again, there's the guy that where it's like, hey, stop worrying about the 50-yard run so much. And what about the guy who ran over seven people to get 12 yards or just hits the hole hard? And, you know, that's more realistic life in the NFL. And then, you know, the guy we're missing there who is the guy from LSU, Ty Davis Price.
Oh, yeah, Ty Davis Price.
So you had him. Take it. I had him, I believe, as my third running back.
You had him five.
I had him five.
Yeah, okay. You had Ty Davis Price five. He was drafted by the 49ers.
So what did I have Pierce? Fourth?
You had Pierce.
Because you have five there him, too.
Did I screw that
typo.
Up?
Typo. Uh-oh. See? This is what happens when you're worried about wearing yellow pants and stuff.
Maybe you did have. Yeah, you had
Damian Pierce third, so you got him mixed
third.
Up.
Don't
you
worry about
mixed
it.
Up.
Don't point out my mistakes
Don't just
here.
Make me look worse on my own podcast.
I screwed that up. So,
no problem. Thanks,
guys. That's my bad. Pete goes,
hey,
he should have checked.
Boss, they're making me look bad on my own podcast,
No,
boss.
It gives us an opportunity.
thank you,
It gives
boss.
Us an opportunity to say you were even higher on Damian Pierce than most people.
thank you. Good cover. Good cover.
We get to do that even.
Right.
Do it again.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah. As our boss walks by here at the worst possible time.
Yes, right. It was all Ahmed's fault. Fire him.
So you did have Ty Davis Price. You had him in your top five.
Yes.
He had a high ankle sprain week number two. Is he listening to this? This is all accurate
No, he walked away. You're already fired.
and Kyle Shanahan did talk about him. It was like once he was injured early on, he missed out on some rep opportunities
and didn't get
in the flow after
it
that.
It is. It's hard. He'll get another crack this year. And we know how Shanahan is. He's gonna keep McCaffrey fresh. He's got Elijah Mitchell. He'll add this guy into the mix too. And hey, I don't lie. I mean, running back, you know, it's a position that certainly Shanahan has given me some pointers on throughout my years, you know, and things to look at and what to like and whatever else. And he was a guy that I wasn't shocked that Shanahan took him. Shanahan, when they were like in that running back conversation in the middle rounds last year, I kept going, gosh, it's got to be Pierce of the LSU kid. You know, just that's the kind of guy he likes. No nonsense, downhill, smash mouth. Hey, I've designed this play for this hole to be right here, and I need you to go through it at full speed. And, you know, he values that ability in running backs maybe more than other teams do.
So as you saw at the bottom of that graphic as well, Tyler Allgeier was the 12th running back off the board.
Yeah.
He was awesome in his
first
year with Atlanta.
But see, those are the guys we're talking about here where, you know, we go, man, there's not a lot of big playability. Look, he never runs for 35 or 40-yard, more than 40-yard gain in college football. Great, okay, right? But, you know, you realistically go, how many running backs really run for more than 40-yard runs in the NFL anyways, unless just the Red Sea parts? I understand if it's like the biggest hole ever and you just need to run straight. You know, the more of the everyday run, the things you see on a consistent basis are, you know, yeah, there's a little bit of a hole, but the hole closes fast. Now there's a linebacker in there at the 2-yard point. You're going to run him over? You're going to break his ankles to get a few more yards? How's it going to go? That's life in the NFL. College, there's more space, and it allows you to be tricked by the sexiness at times, and I know I've been tricked by it before a few times in my life as well.
And Isaiah Pacheco, 7th round pick by the Chiefs, playing in the Super Bowl and playing a huge role in the Super Bowl. So I think part of it, and you've spoken to a little bit of it, I think the idea that running backs are a dime a dozen, you can get a good one in the first round of the 7th round. I mean, we've seen good ones in the 7th round.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe more of that is, it's not that they're all the same. It's that maybe, as you just mentioned, we have a harder time identifying which ones will be the studs and which one won't be.
I think so. And then at times it's hard too. Like Isaiah Pacheco, it's hard. Nobody blocked for him, you know, for 4 years, right? He's at Rutgers.
Yeah.
I mean, I, you know me. I've told stories. I had friends in Jersey who are always like, man, this is Isaiah Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco, he's got the greatest 3-yard run highlight film you've ever seen in your life, right? So it's hard to see the full skill set off of that, too. You know, yeah, you see a run every now and then, but you're just like, well, this is against this team, and it just happened for him here. So you don't know what to do there. You know, that's where it can be tough, certainly. You know, and again, I think that is going into taking away, like you're talking about, you know, the production aspect of it, the sexiness aspect of it. No, let's just get into the build, you know, the mindset in which he runs and plays with, and then how it translates in the NFL, I think is, more of a bigger conversation than the stats all the time that we all love to fall in love with.
Yeah, because we see better running backs emerge. Better running backs are out there in the NFL, and there's ones you'd rather have over other ones. You just don't know at the time of draft whether you should invest a first-round pick in a guy or a seventh-round pick in a guy because you might be completely wrong. So.
Well, if you look at the top running backs in the sport right now, right? I mean, we talk about Josh Jacobs, such a bigger, thicker human being than people realize.
Yeah.
And he's 5'10", and I believe, and Pete can look this up and maybe say, you're 228 coming out, 225. You know, it's a sledgehammer. It's people don't realize how thick he is until you see him in person. Same with Nick Chubb, right? We know Derrick Henry's a giant, right? Saquon Barkley, another guy. You know,
yeah,
he's got a rocket up his ass. But if you saw him in person, you go, damn, okay, yeah, you're right. I can't tackle Saquon Barkley. He's not as thick as he is.
McCaffrey?
McCaffrey's a little different, right? Maybe a little bit of a smaller package. Dalvin Cook maybe too. But what do they have that makes up for that little element of maybe not the power that the other guys we just talked about? They have incredible quicks, right, and acceleration, and there's something else that makes them special in their own right. And I think that's what we're looking at. And, you know, some of them have a both. You know, like we're talking about with Nick Chubb, he's kind of got a both. He's kind of got the power, can run you over, and can run for 70 yards. Jonathan Taylor's another one that's like that. We can't forget about him. He was hurt last year, but he's one of the best running backs in the game too.
I think this is all good. We're going to get into some of the stuff as we go through some of these specific players.
Cool.
But it does kind of sound like you have maybe not changed the way you look at this or scout this position, but you're weighing more factors and different factors than you did maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, I just stopped getting so obsessed with maybe just some of the space guys and all of that. And, whoa, he's so fast running through that hole. And just instead of going, wait, the hole's not going to be that big in an NFL game other than one time the whole year.
Elton Puka on Twitter goes, why do you keep massively overrating speed at the running back position? Man, this was like your own brain. This is like the devil and the angel. Elton Puka, that's your own devil. You tweeted this to yourself. Nobody is breaking 50-yard runs in the NFL, maybe once a month. And so
he's
looked at it. Pete got a stat here. There were 30 runs of 50 or more yards this season in the NFL.
Right. Yeah, it's an overrated aspect. He's not wrong in questioning me that. Now, listen, there's still some – let's not forget, the guys we're talking about that were the two best running backs last year were – both ran 4.3.
Yeah.
So speed is still really important. That can make you special, right? But yes, that's what I'm trying to explain here is Damien, the 4.3 guy who can run for an 80-yard touchdown but can't play with any contact balance or ever get you tough yards is not as good as Damien Pierce who runs 4.6 but has incredible acceleration, and every time he gets hit, the pile goes forward 4 or 5 more yards, right? That has more value. I think we're getting there to finally explaining this the right way. I think I'm getting there.
A Titan named Theo says, when evaluating running backs, how much weight do you put into skills such as vision and balance compared to the other skills?
Yeah, I mean, a ton. There's definitely some runners in this process or you go through where you just go, oh, my gosh, I mean, damn, he missed a hole. Oh, I mean, what a stupid cut. You know, so that definitely goes into this. The really good running backs almost never miss a hole and almost have a sense of where it's like, whoa, how did he even see that hole? That wasn't even there, and he kind of made the cut, like feeling it about to open, right? So definitely. And then, yes, the balance and all that, certainly. And I think that's what I'm trying to talk about here is, you know, another guy that's in my head here, Mr. A Titan named Theo.
All the homies are in your head.
I'm trying, you know, not to fall in love with that aspect as much, and that's where the balance and the contact balance is crucial. You know, again, that's where you just get into when I evaluate myself or the good running backs in football, that's what they have. unless it's just the fastest guy in football or the quickest guy in football. The other ones have the ability, like Derrick Henry or Nick Chubb, to run through a hole. Oh, a linebacker hit me on the shoulder. Okay, it knocked me off kilter a little, but I can keep going, right? Oh, I got hit by this guy on the arm or the thigh. I'm a little off balance, but I got 10 more yards before I hit the ground. And that's huge. It's huge in the NFL and has great value.
So one more question before we get to your rankings. Dylan Feltovich says, I know you've said that age doesn't affect your rankings for other positions, but does the age of a running back coming out of college affect how you view them?
More of the carries would maybe scare me more than anything.
But not necessarily, because you were very high on...
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's been plenty.
Yeah.
Who was it that you're saying?
Colts, Wisconsin.
Wow. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor.
Right, just talked about him. Yeah, right.
Under the radar guy.
None of it's an end-all, be-all to me. No. But the carry thing is the one thing that would make me think about it, right? It definitely would make me think. Yeah, and that Jonathan Taylor, that was definitely like, oof, you know, man, that was a lot of carries. You know, not to where, I know you hear me say, hey, it's a 4 or 5 year rental, but that was one where you worried about, like, man, maybe year three, maybe year two, this guy might not be the same.
Yeah.
Who knows, maybe in year one he might not even look the same as the way he's carried the football. So I look at that more, the wear and tear more than anything, than the age. No, again, I don't think that has an effect on me in this department.
How many guys did you look at, you think?
Gosh, I mean, what was it? I'm going to say high 20s, I think, somewhere in that element, right in there.
So usually about 20-ish get drafted. Yeah. So that's probably the whole draft class. Right. Maybe some guys you didn't look at will get drafted.
And I've been doing what I've been doing this year, too, and I told Pete, is I haven't been doing like a – this is how I help myself through the process. I go through, and I've been doing kind of a loose top 15. So I do kind of a loose as I go, and, oh, this guy, I put like a check or something just to go, hey, this guy's in the running for the top 15. And then when I kind of get done with it, I then, you know, go back, read my notes. Okay, wait, which ones did I really like? And, of course, I have a feel in my brain already for the ones that were the best ones. And then I try to kind of condense it, you know, from that point on there.
If you were a GM, would you wait on a running back? Is it deep, or are there some guys at the top here that you might target?
I don't think I would really ever draft anybody in the top 15 at running back. It would have to be really like, wow, wow, wow. Okay. So, and there's one guy that's, I mean, there's wow in this, but not that wow. So if I was going to draft a guy high like that, it'd almost have to be like an icing on the cake type of thing. Or my team is in a really good spot and I can afford to, you know, take this chance, right? Like the Eagles. All right. Let's get into it.
You want to start it? Should we start?
Might
it?
As well.
Let's
because
do it.
We know who number one's gonna be.
Well,
so let's
with
just
you,
get there.
With you we never know. All right, time to get into the Chris Sims 2023 running back draft prospect rankings. We broke these down into tiers once again, and maybe this is a shock to some people. There are two running backs in your tier number one.
Well, yes. You know, there's one guy that's number one, but I'm going to put the other guy in the tier with him because it's special. So I'm not going to just let him, you know, be discredited for what he does, and we'll talk about him here in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a second, but your number one running back in this class is?
Is Bijan Robinson. Yes, Bijan Robinson is special. It's rare that a guy comes around with this complete of a package, right? And what do you mean? What I mean by that more than anything, I mean, first off, he's got good size at 5'11", 215, right? You know he can run and all of that. But it's not just like, okay, yeah, he can run. It's the way he runs and cuts and reaccelerates and stops and then, you know, can go again. First off, can do it all. Like, and what I mean by that is jump cuts, right? So he can get in a position like a Barry Sanders and make you like fall over one way, or he could go, I'm running really fast this way and I need to make a right-hand turn and I'm just going to plant my left foot in the ground and go. I'm not going to break down and try to break your ankles. I'm just going to be kind of a slasher and just hit it and go and never lose speed. So he can kind of do both to where like an outside zone team's going to go, oh, I like him. And then the team that goes, ooh, we like to pull our guards and have our guy read the block and set up the block. They're going to go, oh, he can do that too. And then the team that goes, oh, well, I'd like to throw the ball, you know, 90 to 100 times and running back out of the backfield for the year. Oh, well, he can do that too. So that's where you get into it. He's a natural that way, right? So in space, he's like, wow, the way he moves, accelerates, makes people miss. But then the way he catches, the way he runs routes, the way he adjusts the ball, and then has the part we've been talking about at the start of the pod, where there's a number of plays where you go, well, there's no hole, but he sticks his head down and he gets 4 yards. Or he makes three or four people miss, and now, okay, I'm got about the 10-yard mark, 12-yard mark. Okay, there's nothing else anymore. I'm just going to hit it. Hit it hard, lower my shoulders, make that 12-yard run into a 16-yard run because I just said, you know what, forget it. There's nowhere else to go. I'm not going to dance. I'm just going to put my head down and get hard yards. That's where he's special. So there's no weakness to his game. That's the big thing, let alone the special aspect to his game is pretty damn special.
On NFL.com, they have a comp of Josh Jacobs with Bijan. Do you agree with that, similar style?
It is similar. I think it's a little more well-rounded. Jacobs was like the jump cuts and power.
Yeah.
Not as much good of the backfield, not the slash ability that this guy had.
And you did have Jacobs. You were high on Jacobs.
I love Jacobs.
Alabama.
I'm going to tell you the name I wrote, and I wrote holy shit next to it because I couldn't believe I was right. I wrote LaDainian Tomlinson, right? It's that type of guy to me. 1,000-yard rusher, 1,000-yard receiver, could be 28 touchdowns in a season, you know, 15 rushing, 10 receiving, right? That kind of – he can be that kind of guy. That's really where he's really got a special, you know, part of him. But, yeah, I mean, that's not a bad comp there either.
You watch him play. You fall in love with him. I think there's a lot of numbers that back this up on why he is where he is right now. He was a 5-star recruit out of high school in Arizona there. He had over – 2,200 yards his senior year, 17 yards per carry as a senior. Who was he playing against that year? He was the 2022 Doak Walker Award winner.
He's
for
a man
college
amongst
football's
boys.
Best running back.
Yeah.
And Pro Football Focus charted him with 104 missed tackles this season.
Well, that's
it broke the record set by David Montgomery back in the day.
It's like, right. So Montgomery had that great ability, but no speed to go along with it. This guy's got both. I mean, his excel, like, you know, again, he's one of those guys when you – when you first watch his first carry, you go, whoa, that was different. That hit the hole a little more aggressive than the last 10 guys I just watched, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you see that right away.
He doesn't always look, like, super, super fast.
I know.
But no one's ever catching him. I was watching it. I was like, what is this? Like,
it's easy.
I almost compared it to – it was
it's
easy.
It's easy.
That's where it's – like, compared it to – you know when your kids, like I have young kids, and they blow bubbles, and then they try to catch those bubbles,
yeah.
And the bubbles just like floating there, sitting there, moving. It seems like it's just in the air. You're like,
yeah.
Just go grab it, and then you go to move your hand to it, and it just skirts away.
It doesn't always look like I'm with you. That it's
no
like
one's
4.3
him.
Or 4.2
exactly.
Or anything
he doesn't
like
look that.
That
fast, but no one's touching.
No,
him.
I know, and you know his. I think that is again his acceleration and his ability to move in space, like you talked about. I mean, I wrote to go off of this, right? His ability to make people miss is off the charts good. I watched Texas, and I didn't even realize he was this elusive watching on TV. Breaks ankles, slashes, bobs, weaves, you know, vision and ability to set up the blocks off the charts, incredible hips and feet, runs with power when he has to, legs move on contact, certainly capable to push the pile. And then I wrote, jump cuts are the best I've seen since Saquon Barkley,
ooh.
Right? That's where he can be in the hole between the right guard and the center. It fill up, and he just jumps to the hole between the left guard and the center and then can just reaccelerate with his shoulder staying square, and it allows him to not only reaccelerate in a hurry but bounce off people too and take them on with square shoulders.
So maybe you just answered Swish B's question to you.
Yeah.
Bijan is the best running back prospect since –
I think it's, yeah, Saquon was pretty damn special, right? Saquon was a lot like this, except Saquon had the little gear that you're talking about that you're like sometimes you wish you saw from
yeah.
Bijan. You go, Saquon had that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that. He's better all-around player than either one of the guys from last year. Now, you know I love Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker's ability to be a sledgehammer between the tackles is greater than Bijan Robinson, and maybe his straight long speed is better.
Mm.
But his ability to make people miss and bob and weave through traffic between the tackles and all that, it's not quite to this capacity. He does it so smooth and so easily. And then where Bijan has an edge too is, again, the pass catching department. When you watch Bijan run routes, you go, well, he could play receiver if he wanted to. He's going to be an NFL, you know, slot receiver. He could do that. So that's another part where I just look at him and go, oh my gosh, he has just tremendous capabilities in both areas.
That's interesting. If you could, because you were very high on Kenneth Walker, if you could almost combine those two running backs, Kenneth Walker with the home run ability, but I think some of the advanced metrics for him last year, he struggled to get more than expected on some of those short yardage situations, and he was kind of just, it's like, hey, we're supposed to get four there. He got two instead.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that, you know, I could see that in some of those runs too, where, yeah, maybe he was supposed to get four, but he was on the edge of like, wait, if I make this guy miss, I'm going to get out and get 44.
It's like Barry Sanders, like
exactly.
Watching him.
So, you know, he can lose a play every now and then because of that, but that it was nothing to like Barry Sanders or even Saquon Barkley. Yeah. There's more of an element here with this guy of, wait, nothing's here. I will put my head down if I have to.
Yeah.
Where Barkley, that was the one thing you were like, I wish he would just sledgehammer it every now and then. It's always a little dancey, look for the big play, right?
Yeah.
So I don't want people to think that. But, yeah, there's certainly an element of that.
That was the big thing on Barry Sanders. It's like, you can hold him to 1 yard, 10 carries in a row, but eventually he's going to break that one.
No
I was
doubt.
Like, well, these 10 carries in a row really sucked. So I hope that one long one is coming.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
So here's the big question, the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Jamie Escobedo, 7. Says, given what pick the first running back has been the last couple of years, do you think Bijan Robinson will be a top 10 pick? So, I mean, I was reading around on ESPN, Jeremy Fowler's talk. He goes, quote, I've talked to multiple teams, or at least scouts with teams, who believe that he is the best overall player in this entire draft. Better than the quarterbacks, better than everyone else. Daniel Jeremiah has him as the number 3 prospect on his big board,
right,
only behind Will Anderson at edge and Bryce Young at quarterback. You just said that as a GM, you probably wouldn't take a running back before pick number, what, 15?
It would be hard to.
But what if he's the best player in the draft, as some people think in the NFL?
Well, listen, he's definitely one of the top 15, okay? That's one thing that's for sure. He is. I don't know if I'd go. I haven't seen the whole draft yet to say that he's top 3 or 5.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say that he's definitely not one of the most talented offensive players in the draft, for sure. Right? Top 10? Whew. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. You know, there is a lot of good running backs. He is in that mind frame. I don't know if I could pull the trigger, like I said. If I'm in the usual scenario of most of these top 10s where there's more than one hole on your team to fill, I'd go, I can't do it. There'll be a good running back in round 2 or 3. Yeah, he's not going to be this guy, but, man, the other two positions we need to fill, we're not even going to come close to being able to fill them in round 2 or 3, so we got to do D-tackle right here, right? There's a huge drop-off, you know. So this is where, you know, the rich get richer. At number 10, if I'm the Eagles, I mean, that would be the team where I'd go, oh, fuck. The Eagles, the Giants fans are going to go, duh. The Eagles got Bijan Robinson. Oh, my gosh. What do you do now? Hurts, Bijan, Goddard, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, like, oof, good luck doing any of it.
Yeah.
So that's the scenario I'm talking about. Every now and then there's a team in the top 10 that's like, oh, fuck you, we're not supposed to be here, but we got here from some prior trade, and we don't have that many holes to fill, so we can do this. And I feel like they're in that position to do that.
So let's take a look at the round one running backs who have been drafted since the year 2011. And this is, we have it separated by options picked up and then options not exercised. And so as you see, if you're watching on Peacock and YouTube, and if you're not, we'll try to explain it to you. There have been far more who have not had their options picked up after that first initial rookie contract. The ones who have had it exercised, you know, Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, they haven't really necessarily worked out. I think if you go back in time, maybe you don't do that. Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, also in that crew, have just had injuries.
Yeah.
So I that's part of it, too, is that you draft one of these offensive linemen or edge guys or defensive tackle, you're planning on exercising that, you know, fifth year and hopefully re-signing him to another deal after that.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, to what you're saying here, the guys on the right, if you're watching on our NBC Sports YouTube page, that have the options not exercised, so many of them have had injuries, right? That's what led to the option not being exercised. I know it wasn't like, you know, across the board there, but there's a good amount of them. Sony Michel, Rashad Penny, David Wilson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? Doug Martin, I don't believe did. He did not. David Wilson, did I say him already? So, you know, that's the risk you take. But those guys on the left are, that was a special crew right there. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a crew right there where, unlike the ones on the right, you know, and I know we have way back when Trent Richardson was drafted in the top five, Leonard Fournette was number four pick, I believe, right? But yeah, Leonard Fournette, I would throw in that group of the guys on the left to go, they were like, these guys were viewed as freaks of nature. Like, oh my gosh, like, these guys don't come around very often that look like this and can run like that.
And even they didn't get their fifth year. We're not even talking about an extension. We're just talking about one more year for the guy.
Yeah, it's a brutal position. So I don't know. But, the Eagles at 10 are certainly interesting there. I don't know. I mean, go ahead. What do you want to say?
Anti-health food is another option for you. Given how the Falcons' offense is being constructed, could you see Bijan going as high as number 8 to Atlanta?
I don't envision them being a team to do that, to draft a running back that high, but it's an interesting thought. I mean, it is a team that's based on run game.
But that almost points to, because they got it with Tyler Allgeier last year,
it
points to a team like, we've built our team to be able to run the ball no matter who's running there. You know,
I know what you mean.
We don't need to go top
guy. We don't need to go top guy. I don't think that's in their DNA to make that type of move. I would expect that that's where we're going to see them go, something D-tackle, something like that. Now, we get into, like, I think realistically, I think it's going to be somewhere more in the teens or something there. And who that is going to be, you know, that's where I don't know. I mean, in the teens, when you get into it, you got the Titans at 11. You got the Texans. They're not going to do it. I don't think the Jets are going to do it. I don't think the Patriots are going to do it. I don't think the Packers are going to do it. I wouldn't imagine the Commanders are going to do it with what they got right now. Are the Steelers going to go? No.
Tex Girl says to you, please tell me the Cowboys will find a way to get Bijan Robinson.
Well, I would worry about, like, what I would worry about is, like, your Lions at 18.
Ooh.
Right? I could see that going. Your team that's run-based. Right? I like DeAndre Swift. But he's getting into what? This is year four for him? Option territory, I think, maybe?
Yeah.
He wasn't a first-round pick. He was early second. But either way, this is year four. I could see that maybe being, you know, a team that thinks about moving along. If he's on the board at 21 for the Chargers, I would go, uh-oh, yeah, he could end up there with the Chargers and Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. Nobody's not going to not like this kid. It's just about whether you want to spend one of your high picks on the running back position and then have the risk of what we talked about. The bad stories are the guys that were on the right on that graphic where, they're hurt and you first-round picks were wasted on them and they didn't get what they wanted other than Josh Jacobs out of the crew.
You just glossed over Tex Girl just asking about the Cowboys here because
she wants
the Texas guy.
Sure.
I mean, it would be perfect. Zeke's gone. Now you got the next big stud.
My only thing is, I don't see them doing that and having a franchise tag on Tony Pollard, right? Mm-hmm. That's where I would just go. That seems like too many assets in the running back department.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a crazy thought. I'm going to say, though, he's going to be gone by 26. You know, I don't know if he'll go as top 10. I would have, if you made me bet, I'm going to say he doesn't go top 10.
I mean, Chargers seems like a floor, right? If he's still there when the Chargers are picking and Eckler wants out, that seems like the floor.
I mean, yeah, I would think so. I mean, the Chargers, gosh, if he's there for the Ravens at 22, I mean, yeah, that could be them the next pick. I mean, so there's some, definitely some teams there that you could see them drafting Bijan Robinson, who is phenomenal and the best running back in this draft. I just want to make sure. I know we have two tiers here, but Bijan Robinson is the best running back in the draft, plain and simple. The guy in his tier that we're going to talk about next is really, really damn good, all right? He is fucking awesome.
Well, let's get to
it. And he's the guy that maybe why you go, I don't want to draft a guy at number 9 in the draft because this guy might be here at 34 or 37 in the second round, and he's awesome too.
Your number 2 running back in this draft class is?
Jahmyr Gibbs, Alabama. Mr. Number 1, the running back. Now, he's smaller. He's 5'9". He's 199, 200 right on the bat, right? He's got better speed than Bijan Robinson straight ahead, right? Acceleration is not much different. You know, they're both in a similar range of pretty damn special when it comes to that department. Now, this guy, he is speed and make you miss and outrun you and make you look silly and everything that way. And that's where he's awesome. And of course, he's got the like pass game ability and route running ability of like Christian McCaffrey. I mean, we're talking about another guy like him, Bijan Robinson, and this guy you even see it more than Bijan Robinson, who can really be a receiving threat. And like a McCaffrey, be, oh, tailback one play, next play, be back in the slot, whatever, right? But I'll say this, all right? Here's my first big comment about him. He reminds me of a Dalvin Cook, right? He's maybe not as quick, I mean, as thick as Dalvin Cook. He's a little smaller. Or the other guy I wrote, you know, he's Travis Etienne. I honestly thought his film was better than Travis Etienne. But Etienne is a guy that, again, has about 15, 17 pounds on him. So there's a little difference there as far as, you know, how comfortable teams are you, you know, with that size, right? He's bigger than your typical third down running back. And his speed and acceleration is, I mean, it's off the charts good. His top end speed, like I said, like we were talking about, I think it's probably the best in the draft out of the running back position. When you just talk about has a seam 80 yards to the house, catch a shallow cross or something out of the backfield, turn it upfield, that's where he definitely separates from the pack.
And he just from watching it, doing the Ahmed Fareed scouting where you give me the list and then I go look at the highlight film.
Yeah,
I don't see any of the bad. I'm like, these guys are all awesome. he sets up defenders.
Incredible,
the juking,
right?
And almost to the point where maybe there are times where they're just like, just run.
You're just like, go.
You're fast enough.
Right.
You can get by him.
Right.
But the way that he can just little subtle movements with his hips and knees to set up defenders was pretty awesome.
He can kind of go, and he kind of hops, and he makes you think, hey, he's going to the left. He's going to the left. He's going to the left. And he kind of goes to the left, and then he can just stop and go to the right, but set it up to where the defender moves with him in that move to the left, and now the guy in front of him is in a great position just to wall him off, and he cuts off his out. His vision, I thought, was off the charts good. In fact, I thought it was really probably the best in the draft altogether, right? You know, you kind of hit on it. His change of direction is up there with, like, you know, as good as you're going to see ever in anything, right? So that's where he is. His change of direction's really more violent and aggressive even than Bijan Robinson, I thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
more explosive in that department than Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, it was interesting because they both are electric in a little bit different ways. But Gibbs was awesome in high school, back in Georgia, 40 touchdowns his senior year, but was kind of lightly recruited and was a 3-star recruit, went to Georgia Tech, then kind of was re-ranked as a 4-star recruit. But I like this. You know what he said?
What?
Bigger school started recruiting him. He goes, no, I'm going to stay at Georgia Tech. I'm going to play there. And then after 2 years, he went to Alabama. but I like that he initially stuck it out there because he honored his original commitment there. But, yeah, his 4.36 40-yard dash time at the combine, second among running backs.
Yeah, it's real home run hitting speed there. And you know, we talked about the pass catcher, but I'm guessing the reason he was at Georgia Tech and not at one of the big schools is the size element, right?
That's 5'9", 199.
Right. But, I mean, you watch the highlights. Fucking dude brings it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like our man Devin Witherspoon from Illinois. Like, nobody told him he's 199. Like, he thinks he's 254 the way he brings it. So I don't look at it and go, oh, man, there's a, you know, a real physicality element that's missing from this guy. And I think he's going to be able to run with a little more power and physicality than people think when it's all said and done. You know, and then he's got, like you said, great patience, changing his speeds to let plays develop. You know, like you said, whether it's slowing down and hopping, waiting for the blockers to get there, or, you know, he can go, oh, wait, there's the hole, boom, go. Or he can get the ball and he kind of dances. Oh, wait, there's no hole. And he kind of just waits for it to show up. And then he hits the gas. You know, him and Bijan Robinson, they both had that ability that I think were, you know, a notch above everybody else in the draft in that department. But, yeah, I thought ultimately he's better than ATN coming out. Reminds me of Dalvin Cook, except I think Gibbs has more change of direction ability than Dalvin Cook, but maybe not, you know, the overall power Cook had and physicality to move the pile or lower his head and do and all that. He's a first-round talent. He really is. In the old days, I think he's a first-rounder. Now I wrote top 40. I don't know exactly, but either way, whoever gets him is going to get a Christian McCaffrey type of football player here, and it's going to change their offense in a big way.
But that would be the worry, that you would get the Christian McCaffrey injuries,
that's
too,
exactly
with that
right.
slight frame and
that's
slight
right.
body. One NFL exec said on NFL.com, they quoted him saying, whenever Alabama's offense would hit a wall, they would get Gibbs involved in the passing game,
definitely.
And he could bridge the gap for him. We got a question here from MMA-born sender. Why is Jahmyr Gibbs the second coming of Alvin Kamara? P.S. He was Bama's best receiver last year, but that isn't saying much with the bona fide scrubs on the perimeter last year. Worst Bama teams of the Saban era were the 2 years Bryce Young started.
Yeah.
A disgruntled Bama fan.
I know. Gosh, we really feel bad for you at MMA Born Sender. You've really been struggling through this bad era of Alabama football.
I know, right?
I understand. When I first started watching, you know, I was thinking Alvin Kamara. I know where he was going in that thought there. Dual threat running back and do it all. But I want to say this to our man, MMA Born Sender. Gibbs is more explosive than Alvin Kamara coming out. I just want to make sure that's clear. Alvin Kamara could not do some of this. Now, Kamara was special in contact balance. He'd be a guy. He was in my top five before I met you. You didn't fucking bring that one up in your shepherd the people.
I didn't. Call it. Power to the
Power
sheeple.
To the sheeple.
Shepherd the people. bring them all along. That's what we're doing now. We're shepherding the people.
But, yeah, that his contact balance was insane. Alvin Kamara was one of those guys where you'd go every now and then, you'd go, man, would he just run straight and outrun that guy? Because he didn't outrun people as many. But he would, you know, make somebody miss, and then somebody would hit him, and he'd roll off them and, you know, run for seven more yards, and then somebody would be dragging on him, and he'd get a few more yards. That's where he was special. This guy's not quite that. But this guy has way more home run hitting ability. And like we talked about with Bijan, it's both ways of making you miss, right? Where he can make you miss breaking your ankles-wise, or he can make you miss where he makes you turn and run, and you go, oh, no, he's going to try to outrun me. And then he can just stick his foot in the ground and make a right-hand turn and never lose 1 mile per hour in his running. And that, to me, is rare. A lot of guys don't have the ability to do both, I should say.
We got two more things we can do with him. We can scout his pro day. I like doing that live on the pod here.
Oh, I'd like to see that, too. I haven't seen him on his pro day.
Let's see. Hopefully it's in fast motion. Sometimes they give a slow motion video. Oh, this looks regular speed. Got a handoff. Cuts to the left, right.
But
he's right,
like
gone.
Just he's so – yeah, I like it. You see the feet and just how he accelerates. And then along with it, it's not just a straight liner. He's got hips and wiggle to it, too. So he can set you up with body language where you think, oh, yeah, he's going this way. And then like Allen Iverson with a crossover, he gets everything going one way, and he gets the body shaking that way, and all of a sudden it's whoom, he goes the other way on you.
He looked thick there in a good way.
I mean,
he is 200 pounds at 5'9",
exactly,
so that shouldn't surprise
me. That's what people don't realize, right. And he probably will be more than that in the NFL. You know, he probably was – trying to play that line of, wait, I want to run 4-3-2, and let me maybe cut 5 or 6 pounds here, right? Where in the NFL season, he'll be 208, 207, right? And just a little more muscle and power to take the every down beating that the NFL has for running backs.
We'll end on his gone.
Right.
We'll take a look at his measurables here for Jahmyr Gibbs.
What kind of gone does he have?
Eight. We got eight. Ooh, not a great gone. So, you know, weight there. I mean, like we mentioned, the size is lesser than 25th percentile in height, 14th percentile in weight. Wingspan, I don't know how important that is. Maybe catching some of those balls. Arm length, not great. But you get into that 10-yard split and 40-yard dash, and that's where he does excel.
That's all that matters there. I mean, that's really, at the end of the day, you're just
That's what you're hoping for, you're number two running back.
Well, I'm shocked with some of these guys that there wasn't, like, he would have been a guy, like, when I looked at his numbers, I was like, oh, well, I wonder what his three-cone drill was. Because it just looks like it would be natural. But, man, not many of these running backs ran the three-cone drill, which was surprising to me. For a guy like him, it just looks like he's so greasy in the hip department that it wouldn't even be a problem. But don't get it messed up, man. This guy's superstar. He could be a big-time football player. It's a little different than Bijan Robinson, right? He's a smaller type guy. But, hey, we see, like, Aaron Jones at, what, 205 right now in Green Bay. I mean, he's running for 1,000 yards every year. This guy's more explosive than that and has more power than Aaron Jones. So don't let the 199 fool you at the end of the day. I'm thinking more Dalvin Cook-ish right here with this player when it's ultimately said and done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. First Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Gold for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Oh, well, I like that because your top two running backs are different from each other.
Yeah.
And now your number three running back is certainly different than those top two. So we're moving out of tier one. You had two running backs in your tier one. We go to tier number two, and there's just one man in tier two.
Texas fight. Yeah, Texas fight.
You're double
Texas
dipping
fight, Texas fight. Yeah,
to the alma mater.
Texas fight. Yeah. Texas
usually
fight.
You're biased against Texas.
And it's goodbye to A&M.
Yes. So this is a bit of a shock. Your number three running back.
Rashawn Johnson. Okay. It would not be a shock if you sat down and watched film with me. All right. I know. In base level, you think, how could the backup fucking running back for the guy that's number one be the number three running back in all of college football? It's easy. It happens a lot. Don't be crazy. We just saw a graphic, right? Trent Riverson and Mark Ingram, they're on the same team.
Yeah.
Right?
Michael Carter and Javonte Williams.
Exactly right. How about Ricky Williams and Priest Holmes back in the day? I mean, Ricky Williams was playing fullback for Priest Holmes for 1 year. Like, and say that in your brain. What? One of the greatest running backs ever had a block for somebody else? So, yeah. Who ended up being one of the greatest running backs ever, too, in the NFL. But, yes, this kid's the real deal. And, you know, he's a little different, okay, than, of course, the two we just talked about. The two that we just talked about have three rockets up their ass and, like, you know, seven rudders to make right-hand turns and cut on a dime, right? I don't know why I went with the boat reference on the
works,
rudder.
Though.
But you know what I mean? You know, they can just go, the rudders can make them turn.
File that one away.
All right, I'm filing it away, Mr. Yellow Pants. All right, but this guy is not that. He's not going to make people miss. He's not going to really break a lot of ankles.
He will make people miss.
Yes, he will. He will. Not the crossover like we're talking about that way.
Go over them.
He will go over them. He will run you over. And he's a little bit more of the guy that, you know, he's a slasher, like I said. And that's what I'm trying to explain to people listening out there without me getting up and, you know, you don't want to watch me move or do anything like that. He's not going to break you down and do that crossover Allen Iverson stuff. But what he is going to do is, like, you know, full speed, little wiggle, nothing great, but stick his foot in the ground and put his head down and run you over. And then his acceleration, he's the biggest guys we've talked at this point. He's 220, and his acceleration is real. It's right up there in the same class as Bijan Robinson and Gibbs when he takes off.
I think it might be exactly the same 10-yard split. I have 1.52 here, and I remember Gibbs was like 1.52, and then
So
Bijan was 1.52.
Listen, when I saw this kid hit the hole the first time, I went, damn, okay. This was like watching Gibbs or Bijan. I was going, okay, whoa, the hole is the same.
Yeah, now, Gibbs, so here's the numbers. So Gibbs' 10-yard split was 1.52, same as Johnson, but Gibbs' 40-yard dash was 4.36, which is in the 97th percentile, and the 40-yard dash for Johnson was 4.58, which is in the 40th percentile.
Yeah, he hits a point in his game there where, he just doesn't have the long speed. He's not that kind of guy. But when you talk about tough, realistic NFL yards like we talk about, and a ton of great 10 and 12 and 15-type yard runs, he's going to be great at that. He really is. And he's an NFL starting running back. He just got stuck in a spot where he was behind a guy that's like a freak of nature that only comes around every now and then in Bijan Robinson, and he was at school with him. But, I mean, I love the guy. I mean, right away, size, it's easy, his speed, hits the hole fast, ability to accelerate top-notch. You know, I'm big into the stick the foot in the ground thing. You know that by now. You know, and he can do it violently to make, like, defenders miss. So, again, like I said, it's not the breaking down and shaking you that way. It's more of you think I'm going to run through that hole so fast that you turn and run, and then I can kind of hit the brakes and cut off of it. Am I explaining that the right way?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure I am. But his toughness and physicality is another part that, you know, I would say he has that above the other two. He can move the pile and run over people at a little higher level. And
definitely.
I'm guessing you realized that, too, as you were watching the highlights.
I think his yards after contact were the best because I watched them in order. I watched Robinson. I watched Gibbs. Then I watched Johnson. I was like, man, he's getting more yards after contact than those guys.
Yeah,
because no one's touching the other guys.
He is a fucking powerhouse. Moves the pile gets more yards after contact than anyone I have seen yet.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So I think that's his game. And will he be able to run over those dudes in the NFL? I mean, he is big. He's 6'2", 220.
Yeah.
But this is the crazy thing. And you mentioned that, you know, don't overlook him because he was behind Robinson. He was also not recruited as a running back. In high school, he was a quarterback in Texas, a running quarterback, but also threw quite a bit, had 7,000 passing yards in his high school career, was a 4-star recruit. And then he was moved to running back in his freshman year due to injuries. And so they didn't even bring him in as a running back. He learned this position, was behind Robinson, and then here you go. He's his number 3 quarterback, running back for Chris Sims.
Well, it's crazy, right? I mean, it really is. But he's great feet.
Here's one thing, though. Let me throw this at you.
Yeah.
In watching it, I was like, all right, are we getting tricked by some awesome offensive line for Texas? And I don't think they have a whole lot of top recruits, but, you know, they're Texas.
Sure.
And those dudes are good.
Yeah.
I was like, part of me was like, are we getting fooled by a good scheme and a good offensive line that's making life easy for these guys?
Well, I think there's, you know, like you said, I don't think there's a ton of draft talent there. But Sarkisian and them, they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still so many runs of, like, well, there really isn't that much there. And, whoa, he got 10 or he got 12. You know, again, to where you could piece it together, definitely. And, you know, you start to get into this, and I start to, you know, other running backs are going to talk about, or even Jahmyr Gibbs, I can sit there and go, well, damn, they had some big holes too, right? So, you know, it certainly wasn't anything that I found like, oh, wow, right? I'm keen to this. If holes are just opening up and guys are just running straight, and I'm going whoop-de-fucking-do, right? That I'm not like, oh wow, oh god, he had 400 yards rushing. He never had to make one turn or make a cut. Like, so I'm, you know me, I'm never into just letting that overtake my thoughts over the big picture.
And that
thing
does happen a little bit, like with Gibbs. You see some of those plays for Gibbs, but
where
then
it just separates for him.
Yeah, but then for some of those guys with speed, it's still impressive because there are defenders with angles on them that they just outrun.
Well, that's where, and two, I think that's where these three guys, they're maybe not going to get the credit they deserve in some of these ones that you're even talking about, right? Now, there's a skill to that, what you're talking about. And that's where I'm going to lead you here. Is like, there is definitely some runs where you watch these top three guys go and you go, oh, well, that was got through the hole. That was good. And then as you watch other guys as you go along, you start to realize, oh, well, wait. Those other guys got through those holes because they're really fast. Like, these guys, this hole's the same for this guy here. He just can't get through it. Mm. So there is the piecing that together to what you're talking about too, where you see some 12-yard runs and you go, whew, man, he flew through that hole. And then you see that same type of hole for a running back later on in the day, and you go, well, they got 3 yards because he didn't have that extra gear or the ability to accelerate through there quite to the same level as these top guys.
Sometimes you spar with PFF. You go back and forth, right?
Yeah. I talked to him on pod. We had some good talks the other day.
There's good times and bad times sometimes. Right. You know,
that's not personal to the guys
No, not at all.
Just don't always see things the way they do.
Not personal to them, just the work that they do, which is not personal at all to any of us.
You're a dick.
They go, he would have been a bell cow back anywhere else in the country.
Yes. Yes. No doubt. Another line I'm going to throw you. More I watch, more I like this kid. He is going to wear out defenders through four quarters.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. He didn't even get a chance to do that. He's going to be a guy that teams are going to play, and you're going to go, oh, fuck me. He's coming through the hole again. I got to take him on one more time. And he's the kind of guy that, like, he kind of likes it. You could tell he likes it.
Yeah.
He likes punishing you. So, yeah, that's where, you know, and that's where I got into, this guy's a big-time NFL running back. Yeah, he's not a jump-cut guy like we talked about, but he's more of a slasher. But he's violent, and his acceleration is real. And his hips are better than I gave it credit for originally. You know, he, to me, I wrote Joe Mixon,
ooh,
Isaiah Pacheco type of runner. That's who he is, in my opinion. It's not going to be a lot of, you know, jiggle and wiggle. It's going to be, oh, I see that hole, and I'm going to go through it a million miles per hour. And if you want to get in my way, then so be it. But you're going to pay for getting in my way. And that's where I love Rashawn Johnson.
So with those two comps you throw out there, he could go anywhere between the first and, I don't know, seventh round. So stay tuned.
Seriously, right?
Stay tuned on
seriously.
That one.
He's like, I don't know where. What we've seen here typically with running back, right, is what? If somebody doesn't go somewhere in the late 20s, it doesn't really seem to happen again until the third round, right? I mean, it's rare. I don't feel like we see a ton of second-round running backs every now and then. But Pacheco would – I mean, not Pacheco. Rashawn Johnson would be a guy that I would certainly think is – I wouldn't be mad if somebody took him – you know, in the second round.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination.
We had no first-round running backs last year, so we did have three last year in Hall, Walker, and Cook.
They
all
went
in the second round.
All kind of early in the second round, right? Top half of the second round for the most part there.
Cook was later.
Cook was a little later.
Yeah,
Cook
was
later for the Bills, later in the second.
And then the year before that, just one in the second round. Javonte Williams was the only second rounder.
Right.
And you got a lot of, even just one third, and then
a lot of fourth and fifth, that's how it kind of works out. It's almost like quarterback. It's like those one or two, three really highly viewed ones go somewhat early in the draft, and then there's a, wait, we think this pack of running backs is kind of all close together, so we're not going to draft them in the second, third round, anything like that. So we'll see where it goes.
So you have two running backs in your tier three that you think are kind of close together, and your fourth and fifth running back in the draft class this year, and there's probably more guys that are in this tier that we'll get to in your honorable mentions part of it. Let's move on to your number four running back in
What's
the 2023 draft class, a guy that near and dear to my heart, my alma mater.
Man, look at that. Sean Tucker, Syracuse, right, number 34. Man, like a little ball of muscle, Sean Tucker. That's what he really is, really. I mean, smaller, really thick, dense, powerful-looking body, right? Almost like a guy we showed up. The name I wrote down originally when I first saw him was a guy we just showed in the graphic a few minutes ago, Doug Barton. right? Do you remember Doug Barham of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I think he led the NFL in rushing one year.
The human bowling ball.
Yeah, the human bowling ball, right. It's a little bit like that. I mean, the change of direction movements, you watch Syracuse right off the bat. I mean, you talk about breaking ankles. This guy can break ankles in serious ways. He's got unbelievable jump cuts, you know. And also, hips are really good, too. So not only, you know, that's another part of, like, sometimes those straight liners, you know, they can't weave and do all that. He can jump cut, make you miss, or be upright and kind of just weave through traffic. Am I explaining that the right way?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where he just can kind of lean and be loose as he's kind of running through a straight line but varying off of it a little bit
right.
without breaking down or making a sharp cut, right? He can kind of like, hey, I'm off the guard. Hey, there's a receiver downfield. And he just keeps running. He just kind of weaves and bobs. That's what I'm trying to say by that, right? So he is really good. And the, like I said, the jump cutting is insane. I mean, it's as good as anybody in this draft as far as that department. And then, you know, like the power for his size, the low center of gravity. I mean, it's another thing that just jumps out to you when you go, how many times does he run up into a hole and there's not really anything there? And shit, he pushes it forward for another 3 or 4 yards. So this is not just some space, break your ankles, highlight type runner here. There's a little meat and potatoes of this guy. Runs through a ton of arm tackles, you know, and that's where his quickness comes in, too. He didn't always have great blocking up there, so he'd make people miss beyond the line of scrimmage. They'd have an arm around him. He'd pull away, turn around the corner, and all of a sudden it's a 20-yard gain. I mean, he's a really impressive football player. And see, this is why it's guys like this that make the whole market go down, because we're talking about the fourth running back, and you hear how awesome I'm talking about him.
Yeah.
He's a starting NFL running back, and, you know, he's probably not going to go in the top 50 picks of the draft.
Mehmet 305 says, could it be that Sean Tucker from Syracuse, the alma mater of Ahmed, be the next star running back that will burst onto the scene in the right scheme?
Yeah.
So
yeah. He's on the right thought there. I'm with you there. You know, hey, he's got to be on the right team, and
what
we know
scheme,
that.
What team are you thinking?
You know, I don't know if there's any, like, he's going to be able to do it all.
Exactly, yeah. He's pretty well
rounded. I don't think there's going to be anything. It's just, you know, can they have enough blockers to just block for him? That's the scheme we're talking about. The one that blocks for people, right? You know, but you're saying it, right? He's got the all-around ability. It's not a guy that I look at and just go, oh, he's only third down, right? Or he's only a pass-catching back or whatever like that. No, this is more to that. And then, you know, like I told you, the acceleration, I thought it was as good as anybody in the draft not named Bijan Robinson or Gibbs, right?
Mm.
And obviously Rashawn Johnson's in that. You know, my man Miles Murphy, one of the top D linemen.
Yeah, do you think this factored into your ranking?
Well,
the guy from Clemson.
It did, right. So you knew about this?
Yeah, you were at the combine.
Yeah.
This is your patented question, which you try to, I mean, you did the same thing when Connor was here. You're like kind of picking his brain on some things.
Right.
It's like you're trying to get a little head start on your note taking. Like, what do other people see? And so you asked the edge guy from Clemson. You go, who'd you have a hard time tackling?
Who's the best player you played against this year? Or whatever. And he went, Sean Tucker. And I was like, huh? I wanted to be like, who?
Yeah.
And he said Syracuse. I was like, oh, yeah, that little running back from Syracuse. I saw him this year.
Yeah,
you know? But, yeah, you know, I wrote that about halfway down my notes, so it wasn't biased to me. But as the film was confirming it, I was sitting there going, hey, now I know what this fucking guy, Miles Murphy, said. This guy's so damn good.
Well, he should know, right?
He should know. He got a firsthand look at the damn guy, right? But he's natural in the pass game, right? So there's nothing like that. We talked about Michael Carter earlier from North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he's very similar to that, except he's stronger than Michael Carter. There's more of a power element with this kid. So, you know, maybe not quite as quick as Michael Carter was, but I think stronger. So maybe a blend of Javonte Williams in there is what I'm talking about.
We finally got there. Mashed them together. So he was not a big recruit out of high school, just a 3-star recruit, went to high school in Maryland, but then had a huge year in 2021. That really was his breakout season, almost 1,500 rush yards. He broke Joe Morris's school record
there. He was a guy I thought about making that comparison to. I didn't think anybody on the podcast would know who that is.
Mm.
Does anybody – I would love to be able to ask that out there. Do you know who Joe Morris is?
In the comments right now, yes or no. You just have to say.
Do you know?
Give us one, yeah.
Do you know? I don't think you know
exactly.
Who Joe Morris is.
Exactly. He's got the school record,
stalling.
1979.
Right.
You know, it's like Joe Morris. Big Joe.
Big Joe.
I called him Joe Cool back in the day.
He was actually really little, and he was 5'7".
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. You know, it was more ironic.
You were going to know him, but you don't know you know him. He was my dad's running back.
Oh, okay.
Number 20. right? Joe Morris, tall little guy. I mean, he was muscle hamster, unbelievable legs, right? And that's what he was. He could kind of make you miss, but man, his acceleration and getting through the hole, and he was like this guy, probably 5'7", 210 pounds, 205, could squat like 600 pounds, right? Yeah. One of those type of guys. But there's your little Syracuse there history lesson
I,
for
I
you.
Okay? I knew that. I wrote in the comments that I knew that. The one knock on him, or maybe one of the bigger knocks, is that maybe, how are his hands? Is he good as a pass catcher? He dropped 10 of his 73 catchable targets, according to PFF.
He has drops, but it goes along the lines of like – there's receivers we watched in the draft where I go, okay, this guy, yeah, there's drops. Not all drops are created equal, though. You know, like we said, there's the drops where, like, hey, the ball's coming right at his face and the guy drops it. And you're like, how the fuck do you drop that one? Or there's like, hey, you know, the ball's coming at his face, but the guy's like turned because he's worried about the defender, right? He's trying to like turn and make a move as he's catching it, right? There's differences there. I didn't come away looking like, oh, this guy really fights it. There's a few that I saw where, yeah, he's the best player on their team. He wants to make it happen. Yeah. So he's going, I'm about to catch a screen, and if I can make this guy miss, I'm going to run for a big play. Oh, I dropped it. You know. So he has a few of those. He has a few in the flat where he drops, where ball a little behind him, he can adjust. But I don't think this is going to be an issue for him. There's still plenty of others where you just see natural – and you go, okay, he's got no problem. He didn't fight that at all, and it seemed like it was nothing for him.
Very rare, a Syracuse guy in your top five. I'm so pleased that
I love
has happened.
Cuse, baby.
You got a Michigan guy as your number two corner. This has been a big year for
Seriously?
The teams that I root for.
Damn, I'm kissing your ass too much here.
We are staying in the Big Ten, though, for your fifth and final running back, who I do know there was some debate on who to go with,
there
number
was.
Five.
There was. I had to go with my heart here. You know, I almost let some of the things I talked about, what I want to correct myself in and be better at and all that kind of crap. And I just went, wait, who's the guy that I like the best, right? And it's not just highlights or, oh, gosh, he's runs for 7,000 yards. And that's Chase Brown from Illinois. I just, you know, he was one of the earlier running backs I watched in the process. Smaller guy, but rocked up. All right, it's like a different look. Even though his measurables are very similar to Sean Tucker, it's a different looking guy. Where Tucker's was more lower body based with thick legs and that. This guy's a little more proportionate, and like you could see like the shredded, rocked upness on his arms and everything. You know, just in his uniform, right? So if I'm trying to paint that picture, I hope that's the right way there. But he is a little more. This is all about violence and twitch. There's not going to be a ton of ankle break, and it's hit the hole a million miles per hour. I got to make a right-hand turn, and I'm going to do it 900 miles per hour. I'm not going to break down or break your ankles or anything. That's what this guy is, right? So acceleration's really good. Top-end speed's not as good as his 4.43 combine speed would say. But, man, as an all-around player, there's nothing the guy can't do. He is good in the pass game. He's more of a slasher than a jump cutter, but still can do that. And he has the type of speed to bounce it around the edge and get a big one, too. I'm not saying it's Gibbs speed, but it's big-time speed where he could certainly rip off a 40-yarder around the edge.
Yeah, 5'9", 209, turned 23 a couple of weeks ago. So I guess Illinois has an identity. They got some physical dudes.
They
Devin
really
Witherspoon,
do.
Your number one corner.
They really do.
Most physical guy in the draft.
And
maybe.
This guy for 5'9" running back. I mean, he's physical. You know, again, that's, you know, he's a little bit of a, you know, like I said, it's a slasher. It's a when he wants to make a cut, he does it with his feet. It's not wiggle and like that. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna wait. I'm gonna break my feet down. I'm gonna pitter patter and I'm gonna cut this way really. But he can do it really quick and really fast. And of course, his ability to accelerate is close to those top guys we've talked about. It's not quite there, but man, he is tough as hell. He is not afraid to lower his head on anybody, and he carried the workload to where here's a guy. To our earlier question, where you go, 5'9", looks like he has to lift weights to be 209. This is where you go, I worry about, the thought crossed my mind to our earlier question of, there's a lot of carries for a guy that size, and, you know, I hope it doesn't wear his ass out, you know, two or three years from now.
He had 328 carries last year, Pete says in my ear. 1,643 rushing yards, fourth most in college football. And he won the John Cornish Trophy as the top Canadian player in college football.
Wow.
What's more of an honor, winning the John Cornish Trophy or being in tier three of Chris Sims' rankings? I mean, that's close.
Well, I don't even – John Cornish is a familiar name, but I can't say – that I can call it off the
top of my head.
You don't
know John Cornish?
Neither do you.
He was my dad's running back back in the day in high school. My dad's Canadian. I don't know who John Cornish is.
It's killing me, actually.
Very good. He's obviously a very good player. 9 seasons with the Calgary Stampeders.
So he's never made it out of the CFL.
Well, yeah, a good Canadian player never wants to.
All right, so top five Chris Sims is better. That is better
than winning the John Cornish Trophy. We're
going
to ask
fun.
If we can get Chase Brown, which we need to get some of these interviews, right? Are they avoiding us here? Some
no,
of your guys,
I think we're
like
get
your
into
guys,
it here.
Are we going to do
I
that?
I hope not. Yeah, I think we are going to get into that a little bit. We haven't gone there yet, though.
I think that's good on your top five there.
Oh, let me just give it one like a little love with him. Well,
Colombo. One more thing.
One more thing. Yeah. You know, I probably a third rounder we're talking about here, somewhere like that. I wouldn't be mad if he went early third or somewhere. And the guy he kind of reminded me of that I wrote was Tony Pollard. You know, I thought he was actually more explosive than Tony Pollard was coming out.
Wow.
Right? Maybe not as smooth all-around athlete. I mean, Pollard could run routes like a receiver. This guy's a little more, you know, jittery. And like I said, it's all a little straight, more straight linus and cut this way, cut that way, right? It's not like just like flowing and, oh, I can just weave through stuff like that. That's not what he is. But, man, it's who he reminded me of. I think this guy's, you know, he's gonna cut out a spot on somebody's team next year, and somebody's gonna make him a part of their offense and make sure he touches the ball a few times a game.
One thing is for sure, he is a top five running back in the eyes of Chris Sims. So we'll get into the honorable mentions here in a second, but let's just recap it. Take a look what we did. 2 in tier one. That might be maybe the biggest surprise here. You had Bijan Robinson number one, but you also like Jahmyr Gibbs there too. Rashawn Johnson, another Texas guy. What if, I mean,
I feel like the only thing that's the Bijan Robinson Gibbs thing is really just the size thing, right? It's like 16 pounds, and that's the only difference in a lot of ways.
If Gibbs just gained 15, 16 pounds, they'd be
number
one.
Very close. I mean, their movements to me are very similar and special that way. I mean, you watch the highlights enough, you see enough football. You certainly were impressed with the way he moved, right? Compared to Bijan Robinson.
And it's an all orange top five. Sorry, I'm just moving on. It's an all orange top five.
All orange top five. You're right. Alabama's not really orange, okay?
I mean, what's happened on this pod?
Damn, look at that. You don't even know.
I mean,
know.
No, but here's no
maroon
red.
Is not orange.
Very close,
crimson is
very
orange.
Close to orange in the color wheel if you want to get down that road again, which I do not. All right, so honorable mention. So let's start with a guy from TCU, Kendre Miller, who I watched the highlights of last night. Because
I thought, told you I was going to make him top five,
I thought
five,
he was
right?
going to be in the top five.
I
yeah.
know. Yeah, so what'd you think of him?
Can be patient and slippery, not afraid to lower his shoulder.
Right.
And when watching him, I did not realize he was as big as he is.
Yeah,
he's like 6'2", 220 or something
right?
like that.
Doesn't look like that when you look at him in his uniform. Yeah. He looks like he's kind of like I don't want to say smaller, but you don't look at him as being a bell cow type guy.
Right.
5'11", 215. He didn't run anything at the combine, right? You know, and he's, like you said, he's slippery, right? It's a lot of, like, unreal contact balance and nice runs through the tackles where you just go, you know, his hips are good. He can slash or juke like you hear me talk about. But the thing that just you start to realize is how many times he gets hit in the hip at the line of scrimmage and then gets 5 more yards, or somebody hits him and he bounces off of it and then he gets hits again and he bounces off that for a few more yards. So that's where I was really impressed. That's where he reminded me a lot of Alvin Kamara in that department. See, this is Alvin Kamara was a lot like this, right? Maybe not quite. Alvin Kamara might have been a little faster, better feet, but had this element, and I know we talked about this earlier in the pod, where the contact balance is so good that it made me think about maybe making him number five in the, you know, there's just so much of that. And then the other thing that is, you know, you watched, he doesn't look like he's real fast. He kind of is a flat foot runner. Like, people need to peep that a little bit. Flat foot runner who doesn't pick up his feet. Have you ever watched Alvin Kamara? He doesn't really pick up his feet. He kind of slides them on the ground.
I haven't noticed
that. If you go home tonight and you have like 5 minutes of spare time, you go, let me see what the fuck that crazy Sims is talking about for a second.
My wife is like, what are you doing? I'm watching Alvin Kamara's feet.
He kind of slides them. You never see him like Roger Craig high knee or anything like that. And this is what this kid does. And, of course, what does that do? It allows your feet to be close to the ground all the time. So that as soon as you get hit, your feet are on the ground, and you kind of can absorb that hit a little bit better and keep your balance. That's where I thought he was really, really impressive. And then I thought, you know, he feels like he's missing a gear when you first watch him. And there are a few runs where you go, ah, I wish he wouldn't be so patient. And you just go, right? But, damn. I mean, he has some runs, and I mean, not some, plenty of runs where you go, he doesn't look like he's moving that fast, but nobody's catching him. And some of these guys are fast, and I saw their combine times, and they're still not catching him. So that's where he's a little deceiving, you know. It's not the sexiest you've seen, but with that physicality, the size, and the contact balance, you know, it certainly makes you think it's going to translate to the NFL.
There are a couple players that are going to be in other people's top five who are not in your top five. And one of them is UCLA running back Zach Charbonnet.
Yeah.
He transferred from Michigan. Had a pretty good year. Some big games. You look at some of his biggest games,
he's
like,
a good player.
He was the only guy on offense for UCLA. But he's not in your top five.
No.
Why?
You know. One, I mean, hey, he's a lot to like. Right? He's 6 foot. He's 214. I thought he was bigger than that. I'm not going to lie. When I watched UCLA on TV this year a little bit and saw him, I thought there was a little bit more of a physicality power element that I was, you know, maybe a little bit disappointed in when I watched, you know, on film a little bit. You know, there's too many runs where there just should be more. Where I just go, ooh, there should be more here. You know, whether he runs somebody over and should get more, or the hole, or wait, there's only one guy here and we can't just let him bring you down. I think that's what bothered me more than everything or anything. He's good in all areas. There's not like anything that you just look at and go, oh, wow, it's another problem here. He is a little bit of a slasher, like we talk about, stick your foot in the ground type of runner. You know, there's no jump cuts or wiggle or anything like that. He's never going to, like, make people miss, break their ankle, or be in the A-gap over here and it closes up and then jump to the left and reaccelerate. That's not what he is, you know. He's a slasher. He just wants to kind of be a straight liner that way. You know, he's got the quick feet, the pitter-patter that I talk about, right? You know, his leg drive on contact is very good. It is. He moves the pile a lot. I talked about the pass game a little bit, and I think he can be a very good route runner. Now, he's sudden, and he's a no-nonsense style of runner. But because of that, there was you know, bigger plays to be had, and I think that's, you know, ultimately what made me leave him out of the top five.
You liked him, but you just didn't love him, and you have to love him to put him in the top five of Chris Sims and put him on that graphic.
Yeah, and just the power just didn't blow me away, I guess, like I thought it was for his size. I thought, man, there's other guys I've seen here or we've talked about already where I go, yeah, maybe they're 5 pounds less than you or whatever, but their power is every bit as good, if not better, let alone they're faster and more explosive. He is very good. I certainly could see him, you know, starting as a running back in the NFL. I don't think that's crazy at all, but I just did not think he was in the top five combo.
How about the fastest running back at the combine this year? The guy from Texas A&M.
Yeah.
We got Devon Achane.
Achane.
4.32 40-yard dash.
Right. Doesn't play like
backs.
That.
Okay. So
okay.
He's not. He doesn't look that fast on film.
It's not quite that speed, no, but it's still damn good, right? It's a smaller type of running back here. I think he's a guy that, you know, 5'8 and a half, 188, right? He's more of your pass-catching tight end. I don't know if he's – or tight end, excuse me, running back. You know, Austin Eckler-ish, right? Deion Lewis, remember him?
Yeah.
Michael Carter, who we've talked about a few times today. I think it's more along those lines, but really not – probably not even as strong as Michael Carter. But for a smaller guy – he is very comfortable between the tackles. So don't think this is a guy that's like, oh, we only got to be on the edge and he's always got to just run fast. No, he's not bad as far as his ability to kind of, you know, weave through traffic inside. And because, you know, he's small or whatever else, he does a pretty good job of never letting anybody square him up and crush him, right? So he's always kind of gets on the edge of people. But, you know, I know he ran 4.32, but I wrote, I wouldn't have guessed he ran 4.32 on film. And, you know, he's quick and his acceleration is good, but it's not wow quick or wow acceleration. It certainly wasn't, to me, on film in the same class as the other running backs we talked about, you know, early on in the pod. He can jump cut. His you know, vision's pretty good. Great body control. But, you know, I just thought, you know, ultimately the size, and he's not as sudden as explosive as his combine numbers would indicate. He does have good hands, you know, and the more I watched, the more I did like him. But I think ultimately more he's going to be more of a third down space type running back along the lines of the guys that I mentioned already.
Different style for the Pitt guy. Is he a Abanikanda?
Yeah, right.
What'd you like and not like about him?
He was another guy, okay, Chase Brown, Kendre Miller, and Izzy, as they call him.
Izzy.
They were really the ones that were in the top five running for me, or that spot for number five. Izzy has a part of his game that's elite, right? Izzy has a gear that, man, maybe only Jahmyr Gibbs had.
Right, really?
We talked about when you talk about breaking out of the pack, and like you talked about how Bijan Robinson, you thought, oh, I wish he was just maybe a little faster top end speed, right?
Yeah.
Same here with me, right? Acceleration off this guy, top end speed, he has a gear that I don't think anybody has this guy's gear once he breaks out in the open. Now his acceleration's not that of the other guys, nor is his, you know, just willingness to just smash it in there, physicality the same way.
Okay.
He's not going to just do that. He's kind of going to wait and pick his spot, and then if he sees his spot, he's going to go. And when he turns it on, I mean, he can run by anybody for 80-yard touchdowns. He has an incredible body, but I do wish there was a little bit more of a physicality element to his game, a little more of a recklessness to push the pile or just smash it in there when nothing was there.
You know, it's funny, on NFL.com, they have a NFL player comparison to Isaiah Pacheco, and we have a question from...
It's the same build.
Greavesy101,
right.
Viewer from Scotland. Love this time of year for the Sims draft content. Glad that you like it. Who from this year's running back class could be the next Isaiah Pacheco? So maybe not necessarily in running style, but a guy who's like late, seventh round. Let's take a flyer on this guy. Wow, he's a huge part of our offense.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Maybe some of the guys you've already mentioned.
Well, yeah, they're not going to be the late seventh round kind of guys, right? But this guy, I understand the Pacheco. He looks like Pacheco in his uniform.
Does he?
That's really what it looks like. But the thing is, he's just not – Pacheco is like – he's scary when he's running at you. This guy doesn't want to do that. Mm. He doesn't really run people over or break tackles like that. He wants to maybe gear down and try to bounce off of you so then he can turn it back on and outrun you with his straight speed. He is a true slasher that way. You know, he's a guy that we just talked about in Chase Brown. It's going to chop his feet and then redirect, not break your ankles that way. Vision's good. Let me just see here. You know, like I said, the long speed is really what separates him or makes him special.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I've said it all for the most part. It's the physicality. It's the breaking tackles that I wish it was a little bit more. He's a straight liner, you know, and I just wish there was a little bit more of an explosive element when it comes to him hitting the hole. But, yeah, built like a Pacheco, but doesn't run like him. You know, and I even wrote Melvin Gordon, right, as far as, like, the body type. All right, but it's not Melvin Gordon coming out either. I mean, Melvin Gordon was a first-round draft choice for a reason. He had a little bit of both. But when they break out in the open and they take off, they look the same. I guess that's what I was trying to say there.
Sure.
Yeah.
So maybe not any of these guys you've talked about already, obviously, being that seventh-round guy. But real quick before we get to maybe one or two questions from the homies about your other positions here, we have Deuce Vaughn from Kansas State, and we also have Eric Gray from Oklahoma listed here as perhaps in the discussion as Robin Hood guys for you.
I like Eric Gray a lot. Eric Gray, he's made for the NFL. There's really nothing he can't do on the football field. Okay, you know, maybe that power physicality element was the only thing that, and just like pure speed is why he doesn't get in the top five conversation, but smaller running back, right, who's compact, a little bit like your Sean Tucker, but not quite that thick on the bottom there, right? He's doesn't have one weakness to his game. I wrote, he's really smooth. I wrote, Mr. Well-rounded. He can jump cut at a high level. He can also slash. He's slippery in space, makes people miss in the hole at the second level a ton. I wish there was more raw speed, a little bit better acceleration. He does run hard. He lowers his shoulder when it is appropriate. You know, there's another smaller running back that I wrote that bounces off a lot of damn tackles. He's got an incredible spin move, and he's a natural in the spin game, in the pass game, excuse me. But straight speed was definitely the biggest negative. You know, I wrote not slow, but he looks like he runs high 4.5s, maybe low 4.6s. You know, definitely some runs where you go, he's going to get 50 yards, and then he gets 15, right? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the reason why he's not. But, man, everything else, he's got a good feel for the game, like I said. He's got great vision. He can break tackles. He can break your ankle. He can slash a little, and he looks like he can really catch the ball out of the backfield. It's just that pure physicality, explosive element that's missing that doesn't put him in the top of the list. You know, but I would say this guy's a mid-round pick. And to our last question, or this could be a guy that comes out of nowhere where you go, nobody talked about this guy. He was drafted in the fifth round, the sixth round, something like that. He's starting on our team, and he's got 1,000 yards rushing and 700 yards receiving, right? Yeah. This could be that kind of guy.
That's why we like to do this graphic. And I don't know if we've shown it already, Pete and Kristen back there, but the Sims Robin Hood running backs, because if any of these guys go and dominate in the first year, we'd be like, we saw that.
We were all over that.
We were all over that. We saw some of the good things they could do. So
let's just put every running back on that.
But that's not true. These guys, there's a skill we like, but not in your top five. Yeah. I think it's a good distinction there for those guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. First Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
All right, we're going to end with this. We got a couple that are not questions here from the homies, but they are. This is actually going to get you in a good mood as you end here. They're compliments to you.
Whoa, what's going on here?
So we got one about your cornerback rankings that we did last time. Scout D NFL says, one, love the Joey Porter exclusion. Good player, but cannot turn. Extremely
exactly
overhyped
right.
due to physical tools. And number two, love the DJ Turner respect. Seems to be highly overlooked. Very talented, quick, fluid, and technical.
Man, I love you at Scout D NFL.
How about that, right?
We're buddies. We're the buddies that anybody could have.
His best buddy or his burner account, one or the other.
I asked you before the show. I mean, I still don't understand why there's not more DJ Turner love. I don't get it. I don't know. We'll see. I feel like he's going to be one to prove me right when all said and done.
Yeah, I feel like maybe some of it is he wasn't talked about all that much, and maybe during the game
just
his
the hype
name didn't come up
around,
as much.
Right. It's a hype thing. Again, I don't know how you could look at him and Joey Porter and go, oh, Joey Porter, yeah, I trust him to cover that receiver better than DJ Turner. I just how could you think that? How could you watch film of those two guys and go, wait, I want that one? What? I don't get it.
Well, let me give you this then. Since you went there, I'll just give you one from our guy Vish Kumaran.
Yeah.
We like when Vish chimes in. He goes, are you scared about Devin Witherspoon's vertical speed? I get that the film is out of this world with all that underneath stuff. Probably would be a great nickel with his quickness and quick trigger.
Yeah, he's
but
right
the
about
times
that.
He was challenged vertically, he got run by. And so Doug Farrer says, on 15 targets of 20 or more yards downfield last season, He allowed one reception for 39 yards, no touchdowns, and two interceptions, so seemed to do pretty well on that.
Well, this is where you can't look at it. This is where it goes back again to the context of the situation, right? Didn't play a lot of the good offenses or great quarterbacks of the Big Ten, right? Got lucky that he didn't have to play any of the big-time receivers. And this is where, again, you got to watch games. You know where I told you I've made mistakes of watching clips or third down or coverage or whatever else. Got to watch the games because the games are going to eventually start to show you plays where you go, okay, wait, the ball wasn't thrown his way, but this guy did beat him deep. He just got fucking lucky because the team said, hey, we got two go routes. Don't throw at Devon Witherspoon. Throw at the other fucking guy, right? But here's the difference too, and this is a great question. Right. And here was one of my little bit of my splitting where you heard me say it last week. DJ Turner in pure coverage and his mechanics and some of these things he does. I mean, he was perfection. Right. Witherspoon tries to squash everything. And within that, that's what I was trying to say. He can be a little choppy in his mechanics. Right. I think I tried to explain that last week. And he can be a little bit like playing off coverage 8-10 yards off and be like, he'll just sit there like hopping his feet, basically gambling like you're going to throw an out route or something underneath so I can break. But within that, when people go vertical on him or run a go route or maybe a deep out route or a comeback, he's not in the position to turn and run, right? DJ Turner.
Yeah.
He never gets caught in those positions. See, that's where I felt really. DJ Turner would go, okay, man, I'm 10 yards off and if he runs the slant right here, then okay, he's going to get me. But I'm going to turn my body a little bit because if he does run the go route, he ain't running by me for
sure.
Right? So Witherspoon will probably get burned a few times in the NFL. Hopefully it happens during training camp before he gets out in the real action and he has it on TV.
Yeah.
But that'll be a come to moment because I want to take this away and impress my coaches. And you start to realize, oh, fuck, I can't do this all the time, right? And so it's not a physical question. And that's, to me, the difference here. If there was a physical question where I went, oh, man, he really has a hard time turning and running. No, he's not as good as Turner in that department. But this is more of just approach and mechanics than anything else. It's not like, oh, there's a physical question I have about his ability here. That's a difference there.
We don't want it to happen in the NFL. We want it to happen in practice because if he does poorly, it looks poorly on us. right now, however he
but
does.
But he's right about his nickel category, his nickel value and all that. And again, that's what I'm saying too.
Yeah.
There's real value in that now. Who cares anymore? It's not as big a deal anymore as it once was in my eyes.
Vish did send some video to support his claim here. So maybe even having said all of that, I mean, take a look at him getting beat on this versus Wisconsin.
Let me just see. All right, so here he is here. The one up top, was he up top? Let's see. Let's go back again. Let's go back. But see, that's what I'm talking about. That was the play I was talking about, Ahmed. Like, see, you got to turn your body at some point. He's squared up like the guy's going to run someone. Here he is at the bottom of the screen, right? The guy runs across her. Or no, he didn't run the crosshair. It's the same type of thing we just talked about. See, he's too square-footed waiting for the break. You can't. You got to turn your hips at some point. That's the big problem. I mean, that wasn't bad. I have no problem with that, right? Here's another one. But, yeah, it's just a little too aggressive. At some point, you got to backpedal and get your hips ready to turn. So he took those chances, and more times than not, it paid off. Here was the first one we missed. See the crossing route? He's going across the field on the top. But even there, you know what he tried to do? He tried to come underneath it and take away the slant route, and the guy was running a deep cross route. So then he's, oh, shit, I'm behind him, right? So, again, they're not physical questions. This is more about approach and mechanics. Technique. And that's why I thought it was a little tighter with him and DJ Turner than people want to give it credit for.
So, Vish, great question, but Chris is going to stand by his number one ranking.
No, but I am standing by it. But he makes a very – it's not the vertical speed. It's how does he handle the vertical attack. That's what he's got to change. His vertical speed's plenty good, Vish. That's what I think, at least.
That's a good question to end it on, but you know what?
We
always like to do one more thing, and we – do that because we love Columbo, and I love that show. It was one of my favorite growing up. And now there's a new show on Peacock that's similar to Columbo called Poker Face. And so before we go, we got one more thing, and that is from Dr. Casper on Twitter. If you want to follow him, there's Columbo. Hey, hat tip to you too as well, which is also streaming on Peacock right now.
Columbo.
Hey, I'm a ghost. Boo is his Twitter handle. He goes, longtime listener, appreciate all you do. Let's put this to rest. I'm an atmospheric scientist. What? Atmospheric
See,
scientist.
See the kind of listeners we have here? We got, he goes, it's smart people.
He goes, colors, invisible spectrum of light go like the colors of the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And so once and for all, orange is between red and blue.
Okay. All right. All right. I will believe you, Dr. Casper.
Yeah, he's agreeing
with
you.
I'm not going to listen to... Yes, he is agreeing with me, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was also, I think I was trying to say orange is before red. Are you an idiot?
He's disagreeing with you.
He's disagreeing with me. I was trying to say orange is before red. He's saying red is first.
That's why we can't do it anymore because
I mean,
our brains have
become mush. My dumbness is wearing off on Ahmed Fareed. What is going on here? Dr. Casper, I got you.
Pete has promised it's the last time we will try to figure this out. Because
hey, I'm a ghost, boo.
Even with given the answer by an atmospheric scientist, I still screwed it up.
No, but I'm glad we got that figured out. And hey, I want to take one more question if you don't mind, right?
Okay.
One more. Because I know we were on the corners thing and the Emmanuel Forbes one.
Okay.
Did you see that? Right.
I did. Yeah.
The Mississippi State guy. He won. And our man Sifo Bain. Right.
I just cut that one because Kristen's sandwich is ready in the
cafeteria.
I know.
There's 12 seconds, and we're leaving.
Emmanuel Forbes, Sifo Bain. Just listen to your cornerbacks pod. You didn't mention Emmanuel Forbes, but he is getting a lot of round one buzz despite only weighing 166 pounds. Where would you rank him? He's from Mississippi State.
Yes. And again, there's things I like about him. He's 6'1", 166. He ran 4.35. He has a 1.48 split. You know me. I love fast.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, I'm a whore for fast corners, right? But it's all about – it's so straight-liney. I mean, if anybody makes any moves, it's less than. So that's why I couldn't put him in my top five. I do believe we've named him in some of our honorable mentions. Mm-hmm. He's the next group down of guys, right? He is tough as hell for 166, right? Only thing I just – the negatives were all side-to-side change of directions. Way too many steps in and out of transition, right? Doesn't have really great hips that way. So anything straight away is great, you know. But anything other than that is below average. So, you know, that's where I kind of thought he was more of a second-rounder type of guy. I know there's going to be guys, some of those taller, fast, straight-line guys, DJ Charks of the world, he's going to be a great matchup for him, that kind of guy, right? You know, but – damn, the first time he sees Jamar Chase, I would be scared to death of it and go, uh-oh, this is going to be trouble. He's going to spin him around like a wheel. So that's where I worry about him a little bit. But good question by our man, Sifo Bain, and that is it.
Now that, are we sure?
Are done.
We're done.
Ahmed and his yellow pants are done here. Okay, what color are you going to wear next week, Wednesday?
I don't know. No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not.
We're so I am doing
you,
Premier
Rogers.
League. So Connor Rogers will be in this seat, a guy who actually knows what he's talking about and may know the colors of the rainbow better than me. It'll be good to have Connor here because he's been studying these guys for over a year now, frontwards and backwards. So he'll be a good foe for you, perhaps.
He will be. You're right. It'll be good. Connor's awesome. He's been knee deep in this stuff for a long time.
Yes.
And you can go do your other jobs for a little bit.
Exactly.
And then we'll see you Monday.
Exactly.
You'll be back Monday.
I'll be back Monday.
Okay,
yeah. So
good.
We got tight ends on Wednesday with you and Connor.
Yep.
And then Monday, I think it is, we going big butts? Edge. We're going
There's
edge.
There's only 97,000 of them for me to watch this week, so don't worry.
You got a whole weekend, says
yeah,
Pete.
Yeah,
your
no problem.
Weekend
no
is
problem.
Booked.
I got it.
Planned.
Exactly right. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed. Ahmed will be back next Monday.
Yep.
He's leaving us Wednesday, but it will be me and Connor Rogers going over the tight ends, the position rank there. It will continue. Continue to subscribe, rate, review, send your questions. Love the questions today. Really. We'll continue to nitpick in this one. And again, anything, any player you got question about, whatever, throw it this way. I'm not saying I'm right. You know that. I do my work. I do my best. And we can have some good conversations about this. Everybody be good. Enjoy the next few days. Enjoy the national championship game on
Ooh,
Monday
yeah.
night.
That's right.
Go UConn Huskies.
Yeah.
Okay. Peace out, homies. Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.